Okay, so place yourself here. I'm at this incredible Aura Interactive festival. If you're in the tech industry in Chicago, you know what this is. It was insane. They had food trucks all over the place, beer, booze, live music, band, MC, super loud speakers. It was crazy. We had a great time. Outdoor fest. Reminded me a lot of Legends last year. I guess the reason it reminded me is because Aura was one of the sponsors of Legends, so maybe they took some notes on how to throw a kick-ass party. Regardless, I was walking around. I'm meeting founders, talking to people. There was a bunch of what we in the business would call A-list founders, some big names there with some big pockets. And as you could probably imagine, I mentioned it in the podcast with Ian. I get pitched a lot. I get a lot of people come up to me and just like pitch me randomly on their business. Some of which it's good for them, some of which it's good for me, and sometimes it's good for both. But in this particular case, this gentleman, Ian, who is a really, really smart guy, walked up to me and pitched me on a colonoscopy. And as you can imagine, I'm standing there having a couple cocktails and sort of dancing to the music a little bit. I was not expecting someone to walk up and pitch me on a colonoscopy, then open up the zipper in his bag and pull out a piece of hardware and explain to me how he could literally revolutionize the way that we give colonoscopies. And there's a whole bunch of other applications. You got to listen to the podcast to get it, but there's a bunch of stuff that he has made sort of super preventative care. And he signed up all the major hospitals. You've got Rush, you got Northwestern, you've got Strug, you've got a whole bunch of other good ones. And the bottom line is he showed what a founder has to be like in order to tackle something as sort of, pun intended here, folks, benign as doing a colonoscopy or more in particular, a camera for colonoscopy. We sit down for the next little while here and literally talk about stuff that I don't know anything about. And he is talking with more passion about taking a camera and sticking it up someone's ass and taking video of it and then giving it to doctors. And I just want to let you know, like, I make a joke about it, but here's the reality. You may or may not have heard of the Hawthorne effect. He talks about it in the interview, but the general gist here is that his camera up your ass system has essentially decreased problems that people are having from having polyps and other things because they get checked up more frequently because they don't know whether or not they're being recorded. And apparently, according to the Hawthorne effect, it actually makes a big difference. And so if you listen to this interview with Ian, who is the co-founder of Virgo, you're going to learn a whole bunch about sticking cameras up people's tuchuses, but also, more importantly, how to prevent problems with your colon. But from a founder standpoint, you're going to find out how a person who was from a management consulting background found his way literally raising money from the top VCs in healthcare tech. This is my interview with Ian from Virgo. So having an opportunity to actually like meet and spend time with you, I get to see a lot of entrepreneurs, as you can probably imagine, at the Aura event, which was insane, by the way. I don't know how much longer you stayed. I was there long enough to see like the African jazz band come out and they were like blowing fire and just crazy stuff.
Yeah, Rick James looked like.
Oh my God. Yeah. Seriously. And so like usually I get a pitch every time I show up somewhere. Someone's like, oh, I got to introduce you to somebody or someone just blatantly comes up and starts pitching. And it is very, very rare that the pitch begins with, I want to take a video of your ass while I do this. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? And of course, this is like a real thing. Like it's colonoscopy medical procedures. You've started a company that you've now raised a million or how many?
We've raised $1.5 million in our seed round, which we closed a few months ago.
Very cool.
Which was syndicated between some notable angel seed round firms.
Can you say any of them?
It's all public information now. So it was actually led by a syndicate led by Tom Williams, who's a really notable angel out of British Columbia, as well as Esther Dyson, who's an esophageal cancer survivor and a pretty notable health VC. And then on the institutional side, we were doubled down by Techstars Ventures, SK Ventures, Tech Hammer, and Radical VC.
Very cool. You've got some decent, so people believe in you, as I guess at the general point. And I think, I don't want to sound like I'm always a cynic, but I don't want to sound like a cynic necessarily, but we look at a lot of companies.
Sure.
And at the end of the day, like the ideas, everyone has ideas. It comes down to founders and it comes down to the people who back them and like their background and experience. And so like naturally, as you continue to progress the business, I think it's important that early on people believed in you and that they're the right people. If you were going to do something like this, you've got the right people on board to do it. I want to have you read the plug because it just comes so much better coming from you.
Sure.
this is the best plug of all time for any business that's ever been on the show.
All right. So Virgo, Surgical Video Solutions, we just go by Virgo.
Yep.
We provide a low-cost, hands-free workflow experience for cloud-based video recording of colonoscopies.
Yes.
Now, we don't just do colonoscopies, but that is absolutely our core market, gastroenterology.
Yeah.
And the main reason why we're doing this is because today, if you have a medical procedure in an outpatient setting, so you're not having some open invasive surgery, odds are the only media that they have remaining after the fact are a few still grainy images in maybe 420p,
yeah.
240 even. So what we can do is actually connect our box. It's kind of like a Sonos for medical.
Yeah.
In IoT.
I mean, who doesn't want a 1080, you know, HD picture of their rectum? I mean,
right.
I feel like
it's a no-brainer.
I think it is. So the pitch on this is, if you help us convert a lead into a sale, you can have some free video of your rectum.
Absolutely. So if you are able to bring to me a gastroenterologist who is willing to come on board with Virgo, I'll pay for your colonoscopy and I'll give you the video for free.
Will you have the colonoscopy done on you instead of on me?
Absolutely.
That is a hell of a sale.
I've been tweeting at Fallon and Kimmel for a while trying to get on the show.
You should.
Since they've been repping colonoscopies with Katie Couric.
Yeah.
So, you know, as soon as I can get on the table, I'm down to do it.
I can't even... this is going to sound inappropriate, so I preface this, but I'm just going to say a lot of founders have promised to bend over for a deal. Very few actually have bent over for a
deal.
You are willing to bend over and lay down.
I'm
ready.
Yes.
I'm ready and willing. Yeah. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit more about the actual why you get into this, because this is one of those things that I don't know if you want to call it fortunate or unfortunate. A lot of things that are in this realm, I don't mean just colonoscopies, but health related. Mm-hmm. Tend to come, and we always sell like tech companies that derive from solving their own problem. They tend to come from somebody who has someone close to them or themselves who has dealt with a problem, and they're like, there's just a better way. Mm-hmm. And so usually there's a lot of heartache and things that come first, and then it comes to like a solution. What is your backstory on why you like to create videos of people's anuses?
Yeah. So it's actually kind of the perfect storm of a lot of different things coming together over time. And there is a personal angle to it, but there's also just kind of the career angle as
Sure.
well. So personally, I come from a background in health tech. My first job out of college was at Epic Systems, which is the market share leader in electronic medical records
Yep.
platforms. I was a product manager and implementer there. My co-founder and our CEO, Matt Schwartz, he was a product manager at Intuitive Surgical, which makes the Da Vinci robot, which
Yep.
is probably the most high-end medical product in the industry right now, most sophisticated. And
what was his background on that one again? So he
was a product manager.
So,
there.
Okay.
So he was sitting right in between marketing, sales, and development.
Okay.
And he really came up with the idea. He was traveling around the country training physicians on how to use the Da Vinci robot, and he's tasked by the marketing teams to capture a lot of collateral for marketing purposes, product development purposes, and he realized that he could very rarely get good video. And what he ended up, you know, duct taping booms together and using a GoPro or his iPhone, just really kind of hacked together mechanisms for getting video. And then he started thinking about, well, that also means that the patients aren't viewing this video, but it also means that doctors don't even have an opportunity to, because if they did, he could just get it right from them. And at that time, I was in management consulting.
Which is great fun, by the way. Everybody loves management consulting.
Oh, you know,
I enjoyed every minute I spent solving other people's problem for what was less than I was worth.
Yeah, especially when you're not, you know, you don't ever get to be home, which is great.
Yeah.
You get to sleep in some pretty
Davenport, pretty Iowa
hotels. Oh, it was just a dream. So he called.
Believe it or not, it's actually better to look at people's assholes than it is to actually do management consulting.
It's been a step up.
I'm not kidding. It absolutely is.
Yes. So he called me and asked me, in my travels around the country looking at different IT stacks at hospitals, what they were doing for recording, and if this idea about bringing a low-end video recording platform to procedural areas was something that was viable at all.
Yeah.
And we started thinking about it, and we thought there was a business there, or at least an idea. And then we kind of had this magic moment of, oh, this could be a SaaS solution. And that could be really neat. Why don't we do an IoT SaaS solution in healthcare that is really geared towards physicians, but at the same time makes it tremendously easy for them to get that content back to the patient?
Yep.
So we started kind of litmus testing the idea. And quite frankly, we started in gynecological surgery. We had a wonderful partner who's a physician at Kaiser Permanente who let us do some work out there. But the market really wasn't ready for it. And a lot of times in certain specialties, there are tool sets already developed for those. Now, in general surgery, there are really big capital products that are out there. We wanted to come in beneath that.
Yep.
So OBGYN surgery wasn't the right place. On the personal angle, my grandfather did pass away from colorectal cancer, and my dad has ulcerative colitis. So he was actually – he's an entrepreneur as well, and he was having a procedure done. Afterwards, he's talking to his physician. This is up at UMass, and yep. he says, hey, can I get a video of my procedure? And the physician, who's now a board member of ours, a tremendous advocate for us, he goes, oh, Chris, if I could, I would, but I'm always asking for the ability to do it. They never let me do it. They say they can't afford to do it on-prem, yep. and it's a total mess. And he said, well, I really just baited you. My kid's working on something around that, I think. You should talk to him. And he said, yeah, give me his number right now. So he called Matt and I, and it just so happened that there was a technology conference led by the American Gastroenterological Association that weekend in Boston. And they have it once a year. It's called the AGA Tech Summit, where they bring together physician entrepreneurs and key opinion leaders, as well as certain investors from the field and the big incumbent technologies. And they have kind of like a Shark Tank competition at the end of the weekend for startups in the space. And he said, hey, I've got some extra passes. You guys should come to the conference as my guests. So we went and we cobbled together a prototype with off-the-shelf Amazon products, a Raspberry Pi, a Pi hat, yep. and these just crap enclosures built in the hotel room, basically, and walked it around the room. We had no business being there. We had never done any work specifically in GI. Happened to sit down at a breakfast table with who turned out to be the chair of the conference as well as one of the leading healthcare investors in the country right now, this guy, Tom Shahab, out of Arboretum Ventures out of Ann Arbor. And they do a bunch of really big deals in biopharma. They're a great firm. And they said, you absolutely have something. And more or less went arm in arm and dragged us around the conference for 3 days and had us – by the time we left, we had our first pipeline built out and we had to go build a product.
So tell me a little bit about the platform that this is becoming, because it's obvious to me you can actually see literally, pun intended – you can see what is going on inside of a person, record it and get it to them, which is essentially – I mean, we talked about this kind of at the Aura Festival a video record of things is just better right. than a written data record. And there's companies that are working on extracting data from video to put it on paper, correct. But it's just easier to understand the situation and easier, like, that's a problem.
Right.
But that's the beginning. You mentioned this a couple times that it starts with colonoscopies, but there's a whole bunch of other things.
Sure.
Where does the platform grow? What's the data opportunity? Like, how big is this for you guys?
Yeah. So colonoscopies and gastroenterology is a great place for us to start, right? There are about 11,000 gastroenterologists in the United States alone. That doesn't sound like a massive market, but there are almost 20 million procedures that are performed
sure.
every year.
Yeah.
And as you might have
and heard, a huge push for more. That's the other thing. It's like that's right. like that's like really low for what it should be.
Correct. That is about 60% of people who should be getting yep. colonoscopies getting them. The goal for this year was have 80, so that would bring the total up to between 22 and 25 million procedures
yeah,
a year,
which is enough.
And the suggested guidance now from a few institutions is to actually bring that screening age down to 45.
Okay.
So people will start getting screened
even bigger business
a little
bit
more. Exactly. Now it's one thing to record a colonoscopy, and as you stated, there's just more data there. We're doing 60 frames per second. That's 2,400 frames in a minute, as opposed to one in a still image or zero yeah. in just a note.
Yeah.
So that's just tremendous, right?
Yep.
So you can see how that's impactful just from an end user perspective. If I'm a doctor and I have a patient who has ulcerative colitis, they're having multiple procedures a year. I can watch that longitudinally over time. I can see progress. I can see things get worse a lot more easily and with a lot more specificity than I could just by reading the notes that are put together, oftentimes using templates.
Which I would think also
be almost the same from one
to we would think also that that would also reduce the number of colonoscopies or the frequency which you have to have them, because you've got, I
absolutely.
Know that this typically goes at this pace. Like a year ago, you look like mm-hmm. this, so you don't have to come in for a couple of years
right.
unless there's a problem.
Yeah. So for example, say I go in for a colonoscopy and one of the major things that they do in colonoscopy is they look for polyps.
Yep.
Polyps can either just be getting in the way of your
having fun
throughput, or they can mean that you are at risk for cancer, or unfortunately, maybe you already have it.
Yeah.
Now, oftentimes, if a proceduralist is doing a procedure and they see something but they don't know whether or not they should take it out, they'll stop the procedure and they'll have someone more senior than them either go back in and do a secondary procedure or refer to surgery. now they could just have someone watch that video. If that person's good to go, they're good to go, as opposed to having to go back and have another colonoscopy or potentially get opened up.
Yeah.
So to your point, there's a tremendous benefit there, and that also reduces a lot of costs in the system because you don't have to do these repeat procedures. But for us, the major value proposition is really in growing the business through what we like to call the data flywheel. You know, it's kind of cliche right now talking about machine learning and computer vision, but it is something that we have put a lot of our investment dollars towards and we put a lot of thought into. And right now, there are a number of companies that are going out there capturing a lot of procedural data, and they're using those to feed neural networks and algorithms that will help do things like advanced polyp detection or look for variabilities within the anatomy and then help push a diagnosis to the provider. Right.
Well, you know, we're already seeing analytics companies that are able to use essentially what would be the equivalent of like facial recognition technology.
Exactly.
That
right.
They can take a video that you've got or a picture that you've got and be able to say, like, this is an abnormality.
Cat, not a cat.
Yeah,
right.
Correct. Yeah.
So that's what we're completely devoted to working on that and then building tool sets to help physicians actually make the right decisions. But we believe in our thesis is that video is going to provide the absolute best training data for machine learning in the world.
Yeah.
Again, 2,400 frames in a minute as opposed to one per second.
Yeah. Right? Well, and the other thing is you have a nice case study to fall back on, at least in my opinion, aside from the actual like colonoscopies, but like from a dental perspective.
Sure.
This is essentially the same exact thing. Like dentists forever were like, oh no, we stick this weird thing in your mouth and take a photograph through an x-ray, and it's like, there's got to be a better way than this.
Right.
And of course they do x-ray still, and there's an importance for it, but they started filming mouths during checkups, and they could just
Absolutely. Take
a picture and be like, oh, send this to the orthodontist. You've got this. This is like your braces have started to change your teeth. This like it's just
exactly
so much
right.
better.
Exactly.
And it's
right.
been a massive revenue producer for dentists.
Right. And
it's not just preventative for me. It's like for as a practitioner, I make way more money because you are, whether
Absolutely.
You like it or not, as a marketing tactic, you are more aware of yourself and therefore want to
you
keep
want to
things
that.
Up.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we've been really fortunate insofar as we were able to realize early on that not only do you need a lot of content, you need high quality content in order to build these next generation AI-based tools and analytics, but there wasn't a solution on the marketplace just to allow video capture at all for any other purpose.
Yep.
So we were able to build something that's really useful for physicians and helpful to patients and monetize it. So we don't have to go out to market and pay for data from physicians. We don't have to go and give them a hard drive and say, hey, can you record all your colonoscopies and mail us the hard drive in 6 months when you're done? We're going to feed it to our neural networks. No, we can provide them with Virgo. They can use it for a number of different purposes, get all that content, share it back with patients, pay us to do it. And in effect, they're actually paying us to then use that data to build tools that will make their lives even better in the future.
What do you see are the few hurdles or obstacles that are coming your way with this? Because, I mean, the one thing that I see is a major advantage, but also something you need to figure out is on the insurance side, is getting this to be something that is opt-in and insurance companies are going to cover it or some variation of that so that it's just easy for, and it's actually not just easy, unfortunately for our American system, it would be advantageous for the doctors to promote this. And then what are the problems you see as far as competitors in the landscape and just overall, like how are you mining the field?
Yeah. So I think brought all together, scaling the business is a classic issue, right?
Yeah.
You go too fast or you're not able to keep pace with throughput, things like that. So I think scale is definitely something that we have to keep a continuous eye on.
Sure.
Especially as interest in the product and we have more average daily users. Now, as a SaaS product, you have to be obsessed with customer success, just militant about it.
Yep.
You die if your customers aren't happy. And so that's something that we are obsessed about. Like we are just obsessed with ensuring that our daily users are having a good experience, that they don't have any issues with the product. We've never experienced production downtime, which is something that we're really proud of.
Yeah.
But that requires a lot of work. And a lot of hours. So as we scale the business, you know, keeping an eye on that. But to your end, you know, syndicating a lot of the different players in the industry is really tough and it's really important. Healthcare is really expensive in the United States. It's really important that whenever you bring a product to market, it shows value, not only from a patient experience perspective, but also on the bottom line, unfortunately, right? So on the retail side, a lot of times with private practices, we can monetize. We have a workflow for monetizing the sale of the patient video. There's a really interesting research study that shows when surveyed, about almost 90% in the 80s% of patients asked if they want a video of the procedure or not, they will say yes, they want the video. And of that percentage, over 70% say that they're willing to pay anywhere between $40 and $250 out of pocket for it. Now, it is an HSA-eligible expense, so people can use their healthcare savings accounts for it, which is great. So that really helps provide a little bit of value to the smaller shops. When working with larger institutions, like Northwestern is a marquee client of ours, they really use it for quality management and research.
Yeah.
So there's this thing that you might have heard of called the Hawthorne effect.
Yes.
Basically states that if you're being watched, you do what you're supposed to do. When you're not being watched, better.
Yep.
Same goes for healthcare.
We're being watched right now, by the way.
Right. And I'm
and you're doing
fantastic. I'm not saying or like too much.
Right? No, you're doing fantastic. Okay. You're doing a better job than me, actually.
Okay.
Which is a little, I'm going to shove you off of our little backdrop here.
Well, it's a nice day. I'm going to go out to the river.
This isn't the worst. People are like listening. They're listening. There's pictures on Instagram. Yeah. Check us out at Technora. You can see like the pictures of our new studio. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
but anyway, continue. I digress.
You know, what they can do is say, hey, we're going to record all of your procedures. Or we might record some.
Yeah.
You're not going to know. Because the beauty of a SaaS product is this sits on the shelf, but they can record what they're recording anywhere they want. I could start recording in Northwestern from my phone right now.
And pick it up in your restroom at home. No.
Well,
do you just want to see how this whole thing goes?
Do.
Yeah, it's on you.
And so that way they can manage their quality longitudinally.
Yep.
Right? So they can say, okay, your average rate of polyp detection is X. However, when you're being watched, we know it's statistically true that that rate of polyp identification increases.
Yeah.
They do that for long enough, and they do it across a wide enough sampling of physicians. The overall polyp detection rate for the entire organization rises, which means that they don't spend as much money providing care over time because there's fewer times.
People are just doing better.
They're getting it right the first time. People are just getting better.
Yep.
Right. As well as patient experience. They have a good patient experience. They can see the video. The provider might give them a walkthrough afterwards. They're going to be more eager to say, oh, hey, buddy, you know, at happy hour, oh, you just turned 45? I had my scope done, and it actually wasn't that bad, and I did it at Northwestern.
Yeah.
Boom. Little statements like that actually go a lot.
Soon enough, they'll sell sponsorship for Northwestern Hospital.
Right, there you go.
Right there.
You
know, and, hey, is that Frank's field. Ass? Yes, it is. Oh, that's Northwestern. A logo coming right out of it.
Exactly.
That's fantastic.
Right. So, you know, that's interesting. But we've also had a couple of really interesting conversations on the insurance side. One of the issues in sales that we run into is hesitancy to use the product because of medical malpractice. What if I screw up and they want a subpoena?
Sure. Well, yeah, you can see that. Yeah.
Well, you know, I hate to say it, but if you're a physician that won't use the product because you're afraid
you're going
to
screw up.
You're probably not the person I want doing my colonoscopy anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm not too concerned about that. But because of that Hawthorne effect, a lot of the largest med mal providers are really interested in actually white labeling it.
Yep.
And reducing premiums,
which is great for you.
Capturing the content.
The white label is great for you.
That's a great licensing opportunity for us.
Of course.
So we're really interested in you know, investigating those and continuing to go down that road. Similar fashion on the payer side for us. About 2% of people who go in for a colonoscopy get diagnosed with colon cancer. Now, we've done the math on it, and if you actually get 1% of that 2% in even one demographic area, let's take Hartford, for example, where Cigna is located.
Yep.
That's several million dollars a year in savings because they aren't spending that $400K to $1 million to care for that colorectal cancer patient because they got it up front.
Yep.
That's only 1% of the 2% that actually gets diagnosed now. So that's a tremendous savings for the payers.
This is incredibly fascinating. I just in general, we're going to wrap up, but I just think it's there's a handful of companies that do stuff like not this business, but have taken this approach in Chicago to solving a problem. And I don't know that necessarily other cities and other kind of tech ecosystems take the same approach that Chicago does, like actually relying on like Northwestern as an example.
Right. I mean, we're also working with North Shore and Rush.
Yeah.
I mean, just being able to syndicate all of those providers here is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So as you might know, the rest of our company is actually based in San Francisco.
Yep.
I'm a Chicagoan and I love it here.
Well, we have an insane business resources.
Right.
So it's like, go disrupt, build the technology somewhere else or here, really. I mean, preferably here, but like build your technology here. ultimately what we do, I think, that is different is that, like, rather than disrupting you and, like, knocking on your door with a, or rather you knocking on our door with a cease and desist, we knock on your door and be like, hey, we've got a really interesting opportunity. We'd love to work with you and partner. And because of that, I think you can advance faster than some of the others because you have such a great case study being built, like, from day one.
Right.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. It's been really exciting. You know, it's really, really cool to be able to visit two or three customers in the same day on feet.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to walk to Northwestern after this now.
Yep.
I could just jump on the L. I can be at Rush an hour later.
Yeah.
And I can talk to two of my best clients, get content from them. And that really helps feed product development. And as you know, in the tech startup world, we have to be pushing features almost every week.
Yep.
Right. We're building, taking that feedback, and without those resources being so close and at my disposal, our team, I don't think we'd be able to move as quickly on the product development side. So, and to that note, I've also just got to say we've got the best team in the world. I mean, we couldn't do it without the rest of the team in San Francisco. They're just insane. They make my job very easy.
Which always helps. Where do people go to learn more about the company and about the team? And are you guys on social? Are you sharing people's pictures of their butts on? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah. So, we're online at virgosvs.com.
Yep.
We have all the information about our team. We do a couple weekly blog posts around different marketing that we're doing, as well as case studies. You can find us on Twitter at VirgoSVS and on Instagram at VirgoSVS as well.
Awesome. Ian, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Scott.
Of course, you can catch this episode and more at technori.com, or you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at technori, or you can follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.